Good morning, and welcome to our online service, wherever you're from. You know, lately we've been noticing that some of you are tuning in from South Africa, St. Martin, from Florida, from all over the world, from the UK, and obviously, those of you that live here in Mallorca. Since we are unable to meet at church, we are able to meet together via the internet, and thank God for that. What a great privilege we have. Your online service website, just if you're on that, I just want to let you know how it works. You can tap at the bottom. You can go into a live prayer, and if you need prayer, please, someone will be on the other side, and you can share with them any specific prayer requests, and they will gladly pray with you right there and then via the internet. And if you would like, they can call you later and pray with you through whatever it is that you're going through, and whatever it is that you need to connect with the Lord for. And another thing is, also, you can watch the Jesus movie, and we're going to put a link as well for Pilgrim's Progress, so you're able to watch that. And again, if you go to the Bible on the right, you will see that there is videos as well, and there you will find the Bible Project, and that will take you through a bunch of different videos on every single book of the Bible. And it gives you a great artistic drawing, outlining who the books were written to, for what purpose. And it gives you a real sense of the whole story of the Bible. So we'd like to encourage you to tap into those resources. It is a great privilege to be here with you.
Louder in the presence of my enemies, sing a little louder.
So, good morning. As we open up to the book of Habakkuk, I just want to read these verses in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Habakkuk says, "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O Rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look upon wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously, and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them?" Habakkuk was struggling. We looked at last week that it is difficult in our lives to deal with the silence of God. Seasons when situations happen and maybe we're crying out to God, but we're actually not hearing anything. And we can get a bit troubled, but one of the things that we need to realize in our lives is that things don't just happen. Habakkuk needed to understand that there was no such things as accidents. Everything he was beholding, all the inaction of God, that all the bad things that were happening, it wasn't just circumstances that God was not aware of. Nothing just happens by chance. God sees, and God, through the chaos, through the situation, through the unforeseen circumstances, God was still working out his plan. He permits things. So let us not be troubled when we see strange things happen in our world. We must ask ourselves, like we looked at last week, what can I learn from this? Is there something, maybe have I realized that I was just putting some crutches in my life, that I was having confidence in certain things that in a moment they were taken away? You know, whether it was the stock market, whether it was maybe next season, maybe it was certain trips we had, and all of a sudden we realized, man, I mean, in my life I had planned many things, and all of a sudden it's like, well, the Bible says, let not the one say tomorrow we'll do this or we'll do that, for what do you know what tomorrow holds? And so the question is, what can I learn from this? Then we can ask ourselves, what is God doing through this whole situation? And then we can ask ourselves even further, what opportunities are there in front of me to be able to be involved in the midst of this difficult situation, be involved in the great opportunities that this creates? I mean, for us, look at this. We are unable to meet together at church on Sundays, and I miss greeting everyone. I miss having the coffees together. I miss having the hugs. But mamma mia, we've been able to go online, and now we realize, man, we are a broader family. We are able to join many that are not able to be with us all year round, or maybe we didn't even know when they come back, and here you are. We are here together. And we seize the opportunity. There's also opportunities to serve and help one another in different ways, to call each other and to reach out to people that might have been shaken a lot because they just didn't know the Lord. What great opportunities this has opened up. And in our present situation, it is of the utmost importance that we are careful not to be drowned by the circumstances, but rather to seize the opportunities. We can fall in the temptation to get into politics, to get into conspiracies, to get into maneuvers of different governments. We can even get into the trap of thinking, man, that's propaganda from this country or that country. And you know what? I see it all and I think about it all. But beyond that, beyond worrying what China's doing, whether they were doing it, whether it's 5G, whether it's Russia with their propaganda machine helping Italy, whether it's Europe all of a sudden not getting along with certain things. Whether presidents have fallen short, and instead of getting caught up in the circumstances and in the things that are and the injustices that are going on, we need to do something else. And you know, it's a real trap to get caught up in circumstances in our life. And Psalm 73, the writer actually confesses. He says, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled." Because he looked at the circumstances and it seems like there was no trouble in some people. It seems like they were not trying in any way to please God, and their lives were better than anybody else. And he was troubled by the circumstances, and he got his eyes off the Lord. He spoke without thinking. Now, how do we deal with this temptation? How do we deal with this situation where we want to act before thinking? You know, James 1:19 says, "Be slow to speak, slow to wrath." So we need to be slow to react. Our problem is that we are too emotionally involved sometimes and react rather than thinking through things. We panic and get anxious and get angry. But we must slow down our reactions, and we must think. And we must think about those things that are certain in our life. I don't know if China developed this. I don't know if the US developed it. I don't know if it was from a bat that went to a dog that went to a person. I don't know how much governments knew before. I don't know why it seemed like Russia wasn't getting hit so hard. I don't know a lot of things. There's a lot of things that are not certain. I don't know. We could go on and on about the things that we don't know. But we need to remind ourselves about those things that are certain. This is terrible, because if we get into circumstances and the things that we're not sure of, we can just find it unfair, or don't think about how we're going to make it through finally, or don't understand why this country did this or that. If this leader would have done something differently, the pain of what's going on at the moment is just too much. And there's so many unknowns that really, for Habakkuk as well, he needed to get to a place where he got to what was certain. What is certain in our lives? And you know what he did? He got his mind on eternal things. He got a different perspective. A different perspective. We need to get a different perspective in our hearts. We must return our minds to the eternal things. We must bring perspective to our hearts. It is good to strengthen ourselves with those things which are certain. And if I'm still in doubt, I must simply commit my perplexity to God in trust, to pray and leave it there. So we must hold on to that which is certain. And if we still have doubts, we need to be able to pray to the Lord. And just like when we make a claim, and sometimes it's difficult to trust that they're going to take care of it, we need to leave it there. I had flights reserved to Iberia to go to Lima, and that was canceled. And I made a claim, and they said, within 5 days, we'll get back to you. A month's gone by, and they didn't get back to me. I made that claim, and I made that request. I had that, and then I was troubled, but I made the claim. I had the receipt, and I just left it there. And you know, that's what we need to do with the Lord. And a great problem we face in our lives, and what really causes trouble in our hearts and troubles uncertainty in our hearts, it's the inaction of God. God's inaction, it troubles us. Why does he allow such things? Why does he just let it go on? Why doesn't he intervene? Can he not stop it? Why does he allow this or that? Time goes on. And if we look at the Bible, we realize that God could have acted a lot quicker in a lot of situations, or he could have acted in situations that were less than pleasant. I don't understand fully, I understand partly, why Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years alone with the sheep, married, when he was supposed to be, in a sense, the redeemer of Israel. I don't understand why with Job, God just sat through the whole situation, in a sense. I mean, from God, from Job's perspective, just sat through that whole circumstance. And it seems like he was inactive. Although, by reading the first chapter, we realize that there was no inaction, and especially when reading the last chapter. Why the inaction when everyone did what was right in their own eyes during the book of Judges? Or why the inaction, as humanly speaking, at the cross? Can you imagine the disciples? God, why don't you do something? Get Jesus off the cross. Take him off. And sometimes there's just inaction that we wrestle with and we don't understand. And we must think like Habakkuk. We must train ourselves to actually step beyond the uncertain into the certain. And what did he say? Habakkuk reminded himself of the character of God. Notice what he acknowledges in verses 12 and 13. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Habakkuk was in the midst of his perplexity and dealing with the inaction of God. And you know what he did? He got his eyes on God's character, on God's person. Notice the first thing he did, he says, are you not from everlasting? God is eternal. And sometimes our problems can become so big because we've lost vision of the greatness of God. I love in the Psalms where it says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains from where comes your help. You think of looking at a big mountain, then you see, man, God's greater. But I mean, when we think of the fact that the vastness of the universe, the vastness of the earth, of the sun, and the sun is small compared to other stars, and you think that he is from everlasting. Before time began, he was there. And when time ends, he will be there. He lifts us. When thoughts like that lift us from our situation. It wasn't the everlasting God, not like the God of the Babylonians, not like the gods the men worship, not little statues of wood, not little things that man thinks can save them, a little statue somewhere, but the living God, not something, we don't worship something we created, we worship someone who created us, the everlasting one. Nothing more comforting than to remind ourselves that our God is outside and above the problem. Nothing comforts us more to remember that the God whom we worship is above history. His throne is above the world, outside of time, and he reigns and has reigned and will reign through eternity. He holds us. We don't hold him. He holds the earth. The earth doesn't hold him. And you know, the next thing he goes, and you gotta think of Habakkuk. He just he just explodes in a moment of worship to get his eyes on the character of God. And the next thing he says is, "Are you not from everlasting Jehovah or Yahweh?" He used the great name of God. The name tells us that he is the self-existing one, the I am that I am. And number one, from the Jehovah, from the name, from Yahweh, the name that we need to realize is that he is the self-existent. When he came to Moses in the bush, he says, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am that I am. I am everything. I am self-existent. I am because I am." You know, one of the things as a non-Christian, and even as a young Christian, that I used to think is like, man, no, actually, it was as a young Christian, I used to think, man, God, really, he was all alone in the universe, and he just needed someone to fellowship with. So he had to create us so he could experience love. Nothing could be further from the truth. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Perfect fellowship of love, self-existent, not needing anything or anyone outside of himself. And Habakkuk reminds himself that God is not dependent upon us. He is self-existent. He is the Lord. He is Jehovah. He is the great I am. But you know what? Interesting, that name Jehovah, that name Yahweh, first appeared in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 when he created man. Which also means that not only is he self-existent, he doesn't need anyone outside of himself, but he's a relational being. He's related to the Trinity for eternity. And he actually wants to bless us with that. The great blessing, the great benefit, the great experience of being able to relate and have a meaningful relationship with the God who made everything. The name of not just the Creator, but actually the relational Creator. Notice what he goes into next. Habakkuk reminds himself that God is holy. "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my Holy One, my God?" He is sure not only of his eternal existence, not only of his self-existent and his independence from everything and everyone, but also he reminds himself of the character of God, that he is holy. Of course, in this situation, he's seen all the evil, but as he speaks to God and he brings the things that are going on, God actually tells him that he's going to use the Chaldeans. He's going to use a more rebellious, a more unrighteous, a more mean group of people, so to speak, to actually deal with Israel. And Habakkuk is just shocked. He's like, "How can this be?" But he has to remind himself, God is holy. And when we think of the Holy One, I always think of completeness of character. Not just purity, but a completeness of, we cannot compare him to anybody else. He is perfectly righteous. He is perfectly loving. He is perfectly kind. He is perfectly merciful. He gets perfectly angry. He will perfectly judge the world. And in him is light and dwells no darkness at all. In situations like this, we must remind ourselves of these things. Habakkuk is wrestling with these things. So we immediately come to a place where we ask ourselves, can the Lord of earth do anything that would be unrighteous? And it is unthinkable. It is absolutely not possible. And he reminds himself that God is mighty, O Lord, O rock. The Hebrew is for rock is a mighty God, and it literally means rock, conveying the idea of strength and the almightiness of God. The God who created everything, who said, let there be light. He has absolute power. He has unlimited might. He is the rock. And the reality is that he can step into our problems at any moment, and he can release them. He has the power to take care of anything. Nothing shall be too hard for him. There's no problem in your life that is too hard for him. There's no circumstance in your life that is too hard for him. And Habakkuk reminds himself of that. Although it doesn't mean that he's going to be delivered from the situation at the time, but through, he has the power. He reminds himself that God is faithful. Notice what it says. It says, O Lord, are you not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. What does that mean? That he is the God of promise. Though he is independent and absolute and eternal, although he is powerful and he is righteous and he is holy, nevertheless, he commits himself to men and makes promises. You know what Habakkuk is reminding himself? We shall not die. God is faithful. God made a promise to Abraham. He made a promise to Isaac. He made a promise to Jacob. And right now, our life as a nation is threatened as we know it. But you know what? It cannot be that we die. Because God made a promise. God made a promise that the Messiah would come. God made a promise that Israel would prosper. And this will not be the end. It cannot be the end because God is a faithful God. What about that in our lives? What about that in our lives when we think, surely we shall die? Even a man after God's own heart like David said that. Certainly we shall die. I shall die by the hands of Saul. In that very next day or week, Saul died and he was made king. Sometimes we forget that God is a faithful God. It doesn't mean that he's faithful so we won't go through anything. It means ultimately that he will preserve us through the situations. Habakkuk was not cooled off in any way by thinking of these attributes, of his everlastingness, of his mightiness, of the fact that he is faithful, of the fact that he is self-existent. He was not cooled off by this theology. He was actually warmed in his heart by it. And he realized that this eternal God was not distant from man. And notice that he says, my God, my rock. Because it was not just the God of mankind. It was not just the God of others, but it was the God of Habakkuk. And let me ask you something. Have you reminded yourself of the character of God, of his mightiness, of his everlastingness, of his relational and self-existent aspect, of the fact that he is faithful? And do you believe that he's good and righteous and holy and kind and merciful? But do you believe that he's like that towards mankind, maybe even towards the ones you love, but just somehow or another have a hard time believing that he is that to you? And maybe you need to do some business with God and say, Lord, you know what? I don't want you to be the God of the nations. I don't want you to be just the God of those that are nearby. I want you to be my God. I want you to be my Savior. I want to trust you personally in my circumstances. And Habakkuk realizes that God is raising the Babylonians for their benefit, for God's purpose, but for the benefit of Israel. And he realizes we will be carried away We will lose some, but God will carry us through. And it is a mystery. It is a mystery that God allows, what God allows, that God sometimes decrees certain things, but not always. As you go through the Bible, you see that sometimes plagues are decreed, sort of sent by God, but not always. Other things God just allows to happen through the fact that we live in a fallen world. And God works out through His purposes no matter what, whether it's through happenings of the fall, whether it's decreed, no matter what it is that's going on, we need to realize that in our lives and around us, He will work out His purposes. Nothing will ever be thwarted of what He desires to do. But we must be certain of this, and we must be certain of His good and righteous and kind and merciful and powerful character. Character assassination is one of the worst things in the world, but we must be certain of this. We must not allow the devil to taint God's character or other people, because in verse 13 he says, "Your eyes are too pure to behold evil." And whatever questions we may have, what's certain is that God cannot look upon evil. Evil in the world is abhorrent to God. God and evil are eternal opposites. Anything unjust or cruel is far removed from the character of God. And there's no injustice with God. God is light, and in Him dwells no darkness at all. And because of this, I must commit my perplexity to God, my lack of understanding. We don't rush to conclusions about God. It's not good when we quickly judge other people, and we definitely don't like it when people judge us without really knowing us. And how many of us do that about God? Sometimes we don't realize it, but we don't rush into conclusions about God because I don't understand something. I wonder if God is righteous at all. We shouldn't let ourselves to go down that route. We must talk to God about it and leave it there. We must go to the Lord and say, "I don't understand this, but I am going to wait for the day that you reveal this to me." We must go like we would go to someone that we greatly trust and say, "Hey, will you help me with this situation?" And then be able to, when the person says, "Yes, I will help you through this situation," and you say, "Okay," and you walk away and you just leave it there, even if they don't call you for a day or 2 days or 3 days. And we wrestle with that because we are very impatient people. But the inaction of God is not necessarily the not caring of God. Look at Jesus. Jesus knew that His Father could deliver Him out of the hands of the Jews, but also of the hands of the Romans. He could have commanded angels, but He was made sin. Sin was punished in His body, separated from the Father. That was in His humanity. Jesus was perplexed. In His humanity, Jesus said, "If there be any other way, let this cup pass from me." He shrank from separation from the Father. And what did He do? He prayed. He literally just went, and while everyone was sleeping, He just cried out to God. "I don't understand it, but into Your hands I commit my spirit." And we might not understand the things that we are going through in this world, but we will. But in the meantime, let us make sure that our eyes are upon Him. If you do not know Him, the most wonderful thing we can do with our lives is to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen God the Father." You see, Jesus came from the Father. And the most wonderful thing is to know the thing that is certain in our lives, which is the character of God. And the most tragic thing is when we let our minds and our hearts be poisoned by the devil, by people in the world that don't understand them, and by our impatient hearts. So don't be quick to judge. Be slow to speak, quick to hear. Learn of the wonderful character of God, which is certain in uncertain circumstances. So, having understood this, that what we need to do is grow in the knowledge of the character of God, despite of the circumstances, to remind ourselves to think clearly, to think rightly about God, to allow those thoughts about God through His Word to sink into our hearts. Let's pray. Let's just ask the Lord, Lord, will You reveal Yourself to me? I want to know You. So let's pray together and ask Him. Father, we thank You, Lord, so much for Your great love. The earth certainly has gone through its trials in history, Lord. And it is amazing the variety of difficulties that have been on earth, but it's amazing how You have worked out Your purposes through it and how You are doing it, Lord. You build Israel. You brought the Messiah. You're building Your church. You're saving people and rescuing people from darkness to come into the wonderful light of a Jehovah, a Yahweh, that is a God who's self-existent and yet so relational, that You desire to bless us with You. And Father, we pray that we will just confess, Lord, our inadequacies, our ignorance, our rebellions, that we would realize that that is why You went to the cross, that this horrific circumstance of the cross, that You seemed distant from it, but You were completely involved in it. And it was in this sort of tragedy from human perspective. It was the very thing, the very sacrifice that would provide redemption, would provide relationship for us. And Lord, we want to say thank You, Lord, from the bottom of our hearts. And Lord, anyone praying on the other side of the island or wherever they're at, Lord, on their TV, on their computer, Lord, that You would speak to their hearts. That You would bless them. That they would have a sense, Lord, of Your goodness, of Your light, of Your comfort. Lord, we need You. We don't need a dead God of the Babylonians. We need the God who made everything, who has the power, who is involved, who is kind and holy. Lord, we need You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. My soul. And so in our lives, we can find ourselves many times perplexed, many times not understanding what is going on. But you know what? It says in the Bible that we have this anchor. This hope is an anchor for our souls. And you know, sometimes a boat doesn't need to understand the current, why it keeps switching from one end to another, but that anchor keeps them right where it needs, where the boat needs to be. And in the same way, when we set our hope on the character of God, when we see His greatness, His magnificence, then it doesn't matter the circumstances that come in our lives. It doesn't mean we won't feel them. It doesn't mean we will not grieve. It doesn't mean we will not feel pain. But it means that we will realign ourselves. That we will be, like Jesus said, on that rock, that when the flood comes, we will remain standing. May God bless you. Make it the aim of your life this week to grab the Bible and read one of the books of the Bible. If you want the smallest one, grab a Christian book. Ask someone, what book could I read? We have time. Many of you have time at the moment. And maybe in this situation right now where we find ourselves that we are stuck, that we have more time than we used to, maybe that's the time that God has provided for us. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. See you next week, and thank you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Sing Jesus, name above every other name. Jesus, the only one.